Harper Business and Harper Audio present The Bad Bitch Business Bible. 10 commandments to break free of good girl brainwashing and take charge of your body, boundaries, and bank account. By Lisa Carmen Wong. Read by Lisa Carmen Wong and Emily Wu Zeller.
This book is written as a source of information only. The information contained in this book should by no means be considered a substitute for the advice, decisions, or judgment of the reader's financial or other professional advisor. All efforts have been made to ensure the accuracy of the information contained in this book as of the date published. The author and the publisher expressly disclaim responsibility for any adverse effects arising from the use or application of the information contained herein. The names and identifying characteristics of some of the individuals featured throughout this book have been changed to protect their privacy. Any resemblance to actual persons, living or dead, is purely coincidental.
To my mom, dad, and brother, for supporting and loving me from good girl to bad bitch and everything in between. Who knows what women can be when they are finally free to be themselves? Betty Friedan, The Feminine Mystique, 1963. Introduction. Unleash your inner bad bitch. I spent my entire life feeling like I wasn't enough. When I got A's as a student, I felt like a nerd and hid from the popular kids. When I won gold as a gymnast, I felt like a target and stayed out of the spotlight. When I got into Yale, I felt like an imposter and fell silent in class. When I started working on Wall Street, I felt like a fraud and diminished my value. When I started fundraising for my startup, I felt like an amateur and settled for less. Each time I felt like I wasn't enough, I did what I knew best. I put my head down and worked harder, like the good girl I'd been taught to be. "She is a good girl," my teacher said. "She always follows directions." "She is a good girl," my coaches said. "She always works so hard." "She is a good girl," my parents said. "She always finishes her homework." "Good girl" was a coveted compliment, a clear acknowledgement of my value, and its repeated emphasis throughout my life confirmed that a good girl was the most desirable thing to be. As I learned to rely upon the voices of authority figures around me, their approval became an anchor of my self-worth, and my success a reflection of theirs. When I did well, every good girl brought with it a temporary high. But that moment quickly dissipated as their attention moved elsewhere, as it inevitably does, leaving me grasping for the next accomplishment that could give me my next hit of validation. When I received praise for meeting expectations, I felt relief. I was the good girl they wanted me to be. But when I didn't, an A- instead of an A+, a silver medal instead of gold, the oppressive weight of their disappointment immediately triggered a deep sense of guilt and shame I could never seem to shake off. The result of this Pavlovian response was that I developed the belief that my value hinged upon my achievements and my ability to please others. I learned to be my teacher's pet, my coach's favorite, my parents' gold medal-winning, Ivy League-bound daughter. But I never learned my own worth. By the time I graduated college, a shiny Yale degree in hand, I had already landed a year-long paid fellowship to do research in China, followed immediately by a respectable job at a hedge fund in New York. "Be grateful," I was told. "Very few people receive opportunities like this." So when I first started my career, I nodded along, gratefully accepting the first offer without negotiating, diligently tackling additional assignments without complaint, unquestioningly staying overtime without asking for a raise. I was so busy trying to prove that I was good enough that it never occurred to me that I deserved more. But as time went on, I started to notice something. No matter how hard I worked or how
Sample complete. Ready to continue?